You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is hour number three. Inexplicably, we're already at hour number three. Boomer, I'm not sure I'm getting through three dippers today, man. I mean, the content has been crazy full. Yeah. But Let's go ahead and just keep the content full, because coming on the air with us right now is John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. This is, by the way, if you haven't already figured it out, we're in election cycle already, and 2024 is going to be a big year. So that being said, let me bring on the guy who lives and sleeps and eats and drinks and breathes this stuff, Mr. Chairman John Wall. How are you, sir?
Oh, doing well. Always good to be on the show.
Well, appreciate you making some time for us today. Listen, you guys have had some news today, so I'll let you go ahead and break your news on visits to the state.
Well, and first off, you're right about the 3 hours going quickly. This has been quite the day for Alabama politics. But yes, we'll start off with our announcement. I'm very excited to be able to announce that the 45th president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, is going to be coming to Alabama this summer for the Alabama Republican Party. Oh. We're going to be hosting an event with him, and very excited to have him come in and state.
We'll just go ahead and hit the applause button right there on the spot. Good deal. So the date's still to be determined, date and place, I guess, but it's confirmed that he will be here and just now negotiating the details. Is that it?
That is correct. So we still have a few things to iron down, especially with security and just making sure the venue will work. So getting a couple things wrapped up, but I think we'll be able to get finalize this and get, details announced probably sometime next week or early the week after.
Well, I think it was last time he was here, wasn't it, that you guys had to – was it then you had to move the venue to Coleman to get a bigger spot because it was selling out so fast?
We ended up with 58,000 people at that rally. and this probably won't be a rally setting. This will be more of a sit-down dinner type venue. But we're really excited about it. You know, one of my priorities as chairman has been raising the profile of Alabama. You know, I feel that's so important. We sometimes get overlooked here in Alabama, and I want to make sure that we catch the attention. We're a Super Tuesday state. Had Ron DeSantis come in this spring, Donald Trump now in the summer, and just trying to continue that string of events of putting Alabama at the top on these national, putting on the radar these national political figures.
Well, yeah, and I agree, and I appreciate that. I mean, sometimes because we're not New Hampshire or we're not California or Florida with massive electoral votes, people go right on past. But I think what's happening right now, too, is Alabama is a deep red state. And the voters, like, for instance, the 4th Congressional District, where, you know, I'm located right now, had the highest per capita vote for Trump of any congressional district in the entire nation. And they know that if they're going to beat Trump in the primary, they've got to out-Alabama Trump than he is. And so he's coming, too.
They've got to compete here. Well, and I love that. I want Alabama to become a bellwether state where conservatives want to be leading in Alabama because we represent the values and the base and the platform of the Republican Party.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, by the way, I also saw just this morning that apparently former Vice President Mike Pence is going to be here in the Huntsville area, I think this month. Am I right?
That is correct. Mike Pence is planning, and that'll be his second visit to the state. And then I have actually been in contact with both Tim Scott and Nikki Haley's campaign about possible visits later towards the end of the year.
Well, I mean, and rightfully so. Listen, that's huge, because one of the things that irked me in previous presidential elections was seeing the top-tier candidate make no stops in Alabama. Now what we're looking at is every one of them's coming to Alabama, so good job.
Now, that, like I said, that is my job, and I love to see these, you know, especially with this with the DeSantis event, now this Trump event, are the front runners. But not just the front runners politically, but also kind of the guys who are pushing this bold conservative message. And I think that's important for not only for them to visit Alabama, but it's important for us to hear their message and kind of what they're campaigning for across the country.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. Well, let me ask you. So, speaking of those elections, I was saying earlier, I think this is a first when we've got a former vice president running against the former president for whom he had served. I don't know that it's ever been a ticket where the former partnership split and ran against each other, and they're already out there swinging. Is that a first? Am I right?
No, I believe you are right, because the only time we've had a president, I think, run for office that wasn't back-to-back, there were two, Teddy Roosevelt and then Grover Cleveland,
yeah,
who was actually successful in his bid 4 years after he lost.
Yeah,
but I believe you're correct. Neither one of them had a vice president running, so I had not thought about that. But that is a fascinating piece of potential history there.
Yeah, it's a weird dynamic. I mean, I think it's going to be one of those things too, where ain't no telling what's going to get said. But other folks, I mean, the field is full, John. I mean, I look at this and think, okay, on the one hand, all God's children apparently want to run for president, but I look at this slate, and man, I mean, the quality. And people always talk about diversity these days. I think we have the most diverse. We got people of Indian descent. We got Tim Scott, who grew up as a young black man, being told that he was not going to make it. Look where he is now. You've got, of course, Donald Trump, and then DeSantis. We got a veteran in DeSantis. We've also got Vivek Ramaswamy as a first generation American. It's quite impressive.
No, it really is. And, you know, DeSantis is also, he's got the Latino background. So, yeah, no, it really is a very wide bench, very, you know, a lot of different personalities and a lot of different, kind of issues, the types of Republicans running. And what I love about most of this is, I'll tell you one thing, when you look at the Democrat bench, it ain't near as good.
No, it's pretty lame, to be honest. And I'm starting to wonder how, I mean, if Joe Biden can truly maintain the I'm going to campaign from the basement and I refuse to do debates. But, speaking of which, debates. So there's a little bit of controversy right now for some that are saying that the rules that have been put in place for debate in the Republican primary are too restrictive. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, first off, the Republican Party wants to have debate. That's been, you know, on the national level, on the state level. We are excited about debates. We want debates. We want the sharing of ideas. We just want it to be fair. And what we've seen over the last few cycles are the moderators arguing with Republican candidates more than their opponents are. And that's not acceptable. And that has to stop for Republicans to come back in and say, okay, we'll do a debate. It needs to be a fair playing field.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I remember one time, and I thought he did a masterful job of it, Newt Gingrich, when he was running, he literally lit into one of the moderators, and it was along the lines of when Donald Rumsfeld used to hold his press conferences, he would say, "That's really your question?" You know, it was obvious that Newt Gingrich had the ability to control the podium as opposed to being taken to a different route by the. But I remember seeing Trump getting corrected by what was her name, Candy Crowley, I think it was. Who corrected him, and she was the one who was wrong. So, all right, so we get away from that, but are we limiting the ability of true candidates to get up there and make their presence known if they don't have a certain percentage of the polling? Is it? What do you think?
Okay, yeah, on the primary debate side, yes. So the first couple of debates are going to be a very low threshold on polling. I believe it's 1%.
Okay.
The harder threshold there is going to be, it requires a certain number of individual contributors to their campaign. And that is a hard threshold. And I think that's why we're seeing so many candidates jumping in right now. They realize they've got to meet these benchmarks, and they know that if they're going to run, they've got to get out there and got to get started. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, so are you saying they have to have individual campaign donations, not just super PACs, is what you're saying?
That is correct. So I believe the rules, and don't quote me on this, but I know I believe it's 1% in national polling, and then they have to have 40,000 individual contributors.
Wow.
So that's, you know, the $10, $20 shows that they're actually a national name that have national support. So it's a different type of structure than has been for past presidential cycles. And it's an interesting one, and it's one of those things, you know, anytime you have a first, you'll watch the process and see whether it's a good move or could potentially be something where we want to adjust that for the future.
Well, I mean, okay, yeah, it's going to be something to watch, and I get it. I mean, I still remember back to the New York City, I think it was the New York City mayoral or gubernatorial election with the one guy who was just kind of weird, and every time he opened his mouth, he'd say, "The rent is too damn high," and that was all he could say, and people wondered why was he even allowed on the stage. Well, I get it. You don't want to put someone on the stage who really shouldn't be there. He's, you know, the lone wolf who just put his name in for fun. But at the same time, I just want to make sure that every candidate that's really viable has a chance to be heard.
Well, that's important for me because, you know, I remember years ago, I was watching a presidential primary debate, and there were many, probably 12 candidates on the stage. And there were a couple of the lower-tier candidates that maybe they never had a chance,
yes,
if you will. But they brought up issues that were unique and that nobody else was talking about, and really highlighted. And I learned through that process. And that's what a debate is all about. It's about people from different backgrounds and different viewpoints being able to share what's important to them and see if that message resonates with people. And so I'm incredibly supportive. The broader we can get, the better, in my opinion. While also keeping in mind that you also only want candidates who are actually serious contenders.
I think it does. I think there's one more piece of that I would add to what you just said, because I agree with both those things you just said. But I think there's also the fact that I think it shows that someone is not scared to be on the public stage defending their positions. And that's, to me, that's a huge thing because it's intimidating. Public speaking alone is hard, much less standing there waiting for the chance to be grilled or having to confront one of your primary opponents. I think that also says a lot about a person. Hey, John,
I
tell you what, if you don't mind, we had a major decision from the Supreme Court today. I'd like to take a break and then come right back and get your perspective on what SCOTUS just did today regarding our congressional district lines. You good with that?
I am good with that. I'll look forward to coming back on.
All right. All right, everybody stay tuned. We're with John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, talking through the fact that we are literally in the election cycle now. What's it mean? How's the field turning out? But we're also going to talk with him about breaking news today that's going to redesign our congressional districts. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. So we're going right back to the phones now with Chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, John Wall. John, so today the Supreme Court of the United States came out, and I'll be honest with you, kind of caught me off guard. I knew it was possible, but I really thought, based on the questioning last fall when they argued the congressional district lines case, that Alabama was going to come out okay. But now apparently we have to consider race, which means that now we have to draw our lines differently, which means that Alabama's congressional district lines are going to change for the next election, I guess. Your thoughts?
Ironically, it seems we have been ordered to draw lines based on race, which would be in conflict with federal law. I have to be honest, I don't understand it. I don't know if there's something I'm missing, but this really kind of messed with my mind when I heard in the news, because it does not make sense.
It doesn't. I mean, it apparently for years we've been told you got to be race neutral, but there does have to be at least one, you know, majority black district. And Terry Sewell currently is the only Democrat. And oh, by the way, she's in a district that is predominantly population wise black. It's always been geographic when you drew the lines where people live, but now it's percentage of the state, and we gotta carve it up differently.
Well, and ironically, the current district lines are roughly based on and have been based on a federal court drawing of a map back in the 90s.
Yeah, 1992.
So, yes, we're literally the federal courts are the ones who seem to have changed their mind here, which leaves us in a very awkward and very strange position, to be honest.
Well, I can't help but wonder, though, if maybe, I mean, first of all, I find it presumptuous of Democrats to just believe that they're going to get more Democrats in office by doing this. They assume that if you're black, you're going to vote Democrat. That's what they're assuming.
It is. And, you know, one thing that comes out of this, and of course, we'll have to wait and see what they'll send it back to the state legislature, and the state legislature will redraw the lines, which, once again, I think it's very important for everyone in this process to remember, constitutionally, it is always, has always been, and will always be, unless the Constitution is amended, the state legislatures who draw lines for redistricting.
That's correct.
And that's written in the Constitution. So, and the Republican Party respects that constitutional platform and respects the state legislators' ability to be elected by the people and then represent the people in the redistricting process. And that's what's been overturned here, is the representatives of people drawing the districts has been overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court. So at this point, they're going to send it back to the state legislature, who are going to work on new maps. And I think you're right. Depending on what this looks like, you better bet that the Republican Party of Alabama is going to try to win all 7 congressional districts.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's one of those situations. We want to win every seat we can. We're gonna fight. We're gonna be competitive, and we're gonna try to put up candidates that represent the communities and the values of the people of Alabama.
Well, we'll see where it plays out, but I would imagine. Now, when is qualifying for the congressional races? I heard somebody say it was November. So do we have to have a special session to get this done before November so qualifying can take place?
Yes, so it will require a special session. Right now, under state statute, the final day that we could have qualifying open would be November 10th. Mm. And we normally keep qualifying open for about a month. So that would put, you know, roughly October 10th and November 10th.
Wow.
And, of course, those dates will be finalized at our summer meeting, August 5th. But what we're looking at is, yes, in order for that to be, in order to follow, get that through with the current state statute, there need to be a special session and the legislator come in and work on redrawing lines.
Well, I tell you, the plaintiffs in the case, which were basically the Democrats, I think Senator Bobby Singleton is the one who actually forwarded a proposed map during the course of this litigation that was a complete redo. I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like it was a complete redo of where the district lines fall. It would move me. I know that. I'd be outside the 4th Congressional into the 3rd, I think. But because I live on the border right now anyway. I mean, I'm 5 minutes away from District 3 while I live in District 4. But that being said, I can't imagine that we're just going to go ahead and say, hey, Republicans, it's going to go accept the Democrat map. They're going to be working this issue. They're going to be tooling it up, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's one of those things. This is far bigger than just politics as well. This is about communities who have been used to being in the congressional district for decades and wanting to be in certain congressional districts, continue where they're at. And that's something that's important. You know, when elected officials are looking at new lines, that should be what they ask. They should ask their local community, ask their voters, you know, ask the people they represent, okay, do you like where you're currently at, and is that where you want to hold things? So that's how the process should work.
Well, John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, music's playing. That means the sermon's got to end. But I appreciate your time, sir. Thanks for making time for us today, and we'll keep up on this, all right?
Oh, sounds good. Always good to be on the show.
Thanks. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.